Jsem stopítem zejnebu tělejs, hejam nipatidam hejam, nadati sapem danti karmaham tanadu. Mancha kopa tuvyascha, kripasindaveyavata, patitam pavanego vaishnavyam.
In this section of the Bhagavatam, in the eighth chapter of the first canto, there's one of the first introductions to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's acting as a person. He is a person, and he's not just simply displaying his majesty and powers, creation of universes, etc. That was described earlier. And also his Lila avatars were described earlier, how he descends into this world in so many different forms to perform so many different activities. But here, he's interacting with his devotees. And this is what's being described. So in his interactions with Kunti Devi, it's she who is speaking. And Krishna has come to her to offer respects because she's, Kunti Devi is his father's sister. So before he is leaving Hastinapur, after the battle of Kurukshetra, he's going to go to Dwarka. He's offering his respects to Kunti Devi, his father's sister, his aunt. And he's still unlimitedly powerful. He's still inconceivably potent, having energies that control and support the entire universe, mama anksa tejo sambhava. But there he is, a person standing in front of Kunti Devi. And she knows that he is everything, or none different from everything. Everything is his energy, and that he's everywhere. He's all pervading everywhere. But yet, there he is, the Supreme Person, right in front of her. And how beautiful and attractive and effulgent this Supreme Person is. But she knows simultaneously that he, Krishna, is her nephew, but also that he's the unlimited Supreme Lord. So in the verses that we're reading in this particular section, she describes how inconceivable and ununderstandable Krishna is. And the last verse, she was describing all the last several verses, how he is completely impartial, like the sun is impartial. And the differences between the different persons in this world, one and the other, is due to their receptivity to their mercy, to his mercy. Their receptivity, or our receptivity, makes all the difference. If the sun is shining and we stay inside and we close the curtains, the sun cannot do anything to pierce our darkness. So similarly, Krishna gives each soul freedom to accept his mercy, his kindness, his protection, his service, his relationship, as much as the individual soul desires. And they advance spiritually or even materially depending upon their relationship and their piety, their relationship with the Supreme Lord and their piety. So it's not Krishna who makes someone spiritually advance. He does in one sense, but it's not Krishna that causes someone's spiritual advancement. It's each person's receptivity to that. So if we want to get more mercy from Krishna, we should change our receptivity. Just like if there are so many television and radio waves right in this room at this very moment, and some person could be listening to the news, and another person, even right here, another person could be listening to some radio station and some music is playing. Do people still use radios, by the way? Yeah.
Yes.
What do they use them for?
Oh, like when you're driving.
When you're driving, yeah. Yes? Yes?
Yes? To hear the news.
I know, to hear the news. Because I didn't know anymore if people had radios, because they were invented
they
so long
really
ago.
They have the big boxes. They just have them in your, you can download on phones and stuff.
A radio app, yeah. But you can't have a radio finger, right? Like embed the radio into.
Like about these tiny ones.
Maybe this is off topic a little bit. But we still, I mean, we can't like eat a radio chip or something. We can eat a potato chip, but not a radio chip. And then
we're talking news and music all day.
Excuse me?
If we eat a radio chip.
Yeah. You think it's a good concept? No. Okay. Just wondering.
I wouldn't want to be doing that.
No, good. I wouldn't want you to either. What to speak of what your mother and father would say. So, but you can tune in so many different channels depending upon what the because there's so many alternative and waves around, you can tune into so many channels or any channel you want and you get a different result. Some people get news, some people get music. But if we tune our consciousness, and we can actually do this, into getting mercy from Krishna, and if we know the art of doing that, we can actually increase our mercy for Krishna. And the first step is to want that. And most of the people, when it comes to getting mercy for Krishna, they change the channel. I mean, going back to the metaphor of the radio, they change the channel and they want something else other than the mercy of Krishna, because people don't actually want a relationship with Krishna. And that's why we are in the material world, because here in the material world it is characterized specifically by people not having a relationship with Krishna, that the Krishna Bhule Se Jiva Nadiya Bahimo, turning their back on Krishna. So the process of Krishna consciousness is to change that desire, either slowly or quickly, change the desire from turning our back on Krishna to not wanting to receive his mercy, to wanting to have our relationship with him open and live in that relationship. And Prabhupada, using the example of one king who was mentioned in the Bhagavatam in the ninth canto and so in the second canto, is Kadvanga Maharaj. In one half of a moment, one second, one can do this. Because the Krishna is always there and his mercy is always beaming towards us. But because we have our receptors off, we can't capture that mercy. But all we have to do is turn them on. And the turning them on is just some sincere desire. That's all. Sincere desire to have a relationship with Krishna. Now, if the more one knows about Krishna, obviously, the more one will sincerely desire to have a relationship with him. Why?
Because he's unlimited.
You have to raise your hand. Yes.
It's unlimited.
Because he's unlimited? Okay. Would you like to have a relationship with the unlimited? It might be a little frightening, like unlimited electricity. If we have a relationship with that, we might...
I mean, the pastime is unlimited.
Oh, yes, the pastimes are unlimited. Yes.
Could be said it's hard to have a relationship with someone that you don't know.
Yes.
Unless you find out about.
Yes, them. Yes, yes. But why, once we hear about Krishna, why would we want to naturally have a relationship with him? Yes. I mean, there's not. I have one thing in my mind, but there's many answers to this.
Because it brings satisfaction to the soul.
Yeah, and naturally, yatma supersedati, brings satisfaction to the soul.
To please him.
To please him, to have a relationship to please him. Yes? Yes?
Because it's the natural position.
Because it's natural, yes. Because we're his part in Pasam Mama Eva Angsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana.
I had something in mind, but I forgot.
Okay, it was in your mind. Where did it go? Is it still in your mind? Where is it? Did it cease to exist, or is it hiding somewhere?
It's hiding somewhere.
Okay, it'll come back, don't worry. what I was thinking why we naturally want to have a relationship with Krishna is because he's so attractive, he's so beautiful, he's so strong, he's so wise, and he's so charming. And everything he does is captivating, and captivating to one's consciousness. But if we don't have a relationship with him, we don't get to see this captivating aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We just get to see, if we even will accept that he's there, we just get to see that he's so powerful. And when, have you ever been in the, who is the most powerful person you've ever been in the presence of? Of course, your math teacher. Who's the most powerful person you've ever been in the presence of?
The CEO or the boss.
The boss in your company. Yeah. And how do you feel when you're standing? Is he a he or is he a she in the Water Corporation?
The CEO is a he.
Yeah.
But the managers are she.
Okay. So when you're in the presence of the CEO of the Water Corporation?
Synergy.
Huh?
Synergy.
Synergy, yeah. How do you feel?
Earlier I would get nervous, but now not so much.
Okay. But the.
But nervous, there is a little bit of the...
Relationship.
Yeah, but there is... It's.
But you're careful.
Although you want to have a relationship with him, but you can't.
Yeah. So because he's very, very big. So when you understand only the power of Krishna, how old is the CEO?
Early 50s.
Okay. Does he have children?
I don't know.
You don't know. Is he... never mind. Who cares? But the point being that if he has some children, even though he may be the CEO, the children have a different kind of relationship with him. And then they it's mostly dominated, Krishna willing, by affection. So it's very, very different. They know him better. They know different parts of him. So similarly, Krishna has so many different aspects to his nature, and he's all attractive. And the more we get to know him, the more we hear about him and chant his name, then the more we become, more his nature becomes appealing to us. So Kunti Devi is saying, you're so powerful, but you're so powerful, you never take birth, but yet you take birth. You're unlimited, but you're still here. And you're equal to everyone, but no one is equal in this world. And you take your birth as a human, but you're not a human. So many seeming contradictory things. And people, you're very hard to understand for these reasons. So, and then she says, you also descend. You come to this world, the Sanskrit word is avatar. Usually the English word, when you translate avatar into English, what word is used usually?
Incarnation.
But actually it's incarnation. The word has an improper meaning for what Krishna is. It actually is a Christian word. That means, what they mean when they use the word incarnation is that God takes on physical flesh just like we have flesh. So incarnate, incarnal flesh, in flesh. But Krishna doesn't incarnate. He doesn't become, have a material body like we have a body. He descends to this world, actually. But we use the word incarnation because there's no other word in English to but we don't mean in flesh, in a material body, but we mean that he descends to this world. Actually, he doesn't even really descend to this world because he's never in this world, because even when he's in this world, he's not in this world, because he's always sambhavam yapamaya, he's situated not in the material energy, but he's situated always in the spiritual energy. So the Sanskrit word avatara is actually the appropriate word, that he allows us to see him, basically, when that's what we mean when we say he descends to this world. He allows us to see him while usually, even though he's present everywhere, we're unable to see him anywhere. So that's one of the things that Kunti Devi earlier said. Although you are everywhere, antavihira vastita, we cannot see you anywhere. And you come in so many different forms. This is what we read yesterday. You descend amongst the animals, the men, the sages and aquatics. So this is bewildering, because even though you take on the body of a half lion, half man, one part half, one second part half. No, that's enough. That's a complete unit. But still, you're not a half lion and you're not a half man. You're still the Supreme Lord. When you take the form as a boar, as Varaha, you're still the Supreme Lord. When you take the form as a fish, you're not actually a fish at all. So this is bewildering. You're in that form, but you are the still and always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all-attractive, all-powerful, unlimited, although appearing to be limited through your potencies and powers. You're everything. You take the form of a sage, but you're actually the object of the sage's deep understanding. So as Prabhupada ends that purport, he is eternally the Supreme Lord in all circumstances. And now, at this very moment, Krishna willing, and technology permitting, we shall move forward. Oh, I think we're going to have to do it slowly because technology is slow. Now we're going to speed it up. See, where were we? Yes, we're bewildered. Vidambanam. So here's the next verse that explains the most bewildering thing. Kunti Devi has already explained, speaking to Krishna, praying to Krishna, so many things that are bewildering. Bewildering, what does bewildering mean? No.
He's like amazing?
Yeah, but a little more than amazing. A little more than amazing. A lot more than amazing. What does bewildering mean? Amazing plus, it's so amazing, so amazing that it confuses us. Because in the word bewildering, there is the concept of confusion. So amazing that it's confusing, that the intelligence cannot fathom it. It cannot understand it. It's so amazing that the intelligence, our finite, very small intelligence, cannot understand it. So now she's going to describe the most amazing, bewildering, confusing even point. And here it is. Gyo gopyadade toi krishnagasidamatava gopyadade tavakitagasidamatava. And that means that the cowardly gopi, the gopi whose name is Yashoda, that she, Adade, she took up, and then it goes to the word dhamma, a rope. Because you, Kritagasi, you were creating a disturbance. So this verse refers to the Lord Krishna's Damodar pastime that he performs in the month of Kartik. And this is a very, very beloved and important pastime for the devotees. So gopyadade tvai kritagasi damatavad, that you created a disturbance by breaking the butter pot, and your mother Yashoda tavar at that time, she picked up a rope to punish you. So is that bewildering? Vidambanam? Is that confusing? Is that amazing that Mother Yashoda picked up a rope to punish Krishna? And the answer is yes, that is amazing. Because her relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with the unlimited, all-powerful, all-knowing Supreme Lord was so intimate that there was no fear at all. There was no fear at all on her part to punish him. Now, when you were in your boss's office, did you consider maybe there were so many things you don't like about the company? We'll turn off the microphone, don't worry. And record it. Are there things you don't like about the company? Yes, okay. But did you consider chastising your boss? Yeah? Did you say anything? Did you pick up a rope? A stick? You actually consider chastising your boss. Anyway, this is getting a little bit too... He must have done something terrible. He did.
Like world politics and...
Oh, but is it the boss's fault?
Favoritism, so...
I also feel like chastising him now. But he's not all-powerful. Just imagine if he was all... you can't imagine that. But imagine if he was, like, physically huge as a room. And he was so powerful. And he could squash you like a bug or something. Would you consider chastising him? I doubt it, yes. So Krishna is all-powerful. But Mother Yashoda's relationship is so intimate that she doesn't even see that part of him. And there she is with a rope in her hand. And why? Because Krishna has done something that was very disturbing. And what did he do at that time? But we'll hear about that. He broke the butter pot. But at this time, because there's a picture that's in Kunti Devi's mind of Mother Yashoda holding up a rope and Krishna, his perturbed eyes, yate, his situation, his dasha, asru kalila, the tears are coming from his eyes. Now the all-powerful Supreme Lord, when Mother Yashoda, because naturally, young boys, when their mother is upset with them, is not pleased with them, they become very, very sad and fearful. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, see? Especially fearful, yes. Yes. So Mother Yashoda, but Krishna, still, he's all-powerful. And yet, when Mother Yashoda does this, tears are coming down his eyes, some Brahma, and he's so disturbed, and his akshams, his eyes are so disturbed, vaktram, his face, the tears that are coming down his eyes, they're coming down his cheeks onto his face, and he's looking downward. Yeah, the word, and Ashukalila, overflooded with tears, Anjana. Anjana means, there's no English word for it. Prabhupada sometimes translated as mascara, and they call it, or collyrium, which is, or
Kajal.
Kajal, yes, Kajal. Raise your hand if you were young, when you were young, your mother put Kajal on your eyes. Yes, that's... Well, you can ask her. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but not anymore.
No.
Not anymore. Thankfully. You look so cute with Kajal on your eyes.
You have to put in drama.
On drama, yes. But actual Kajal or mascara?
Yeah, actual Kajal.
Okay. And it's actually very good for your eyes.
Okay.
So it makes your eyes very powerful. But yeah, because when you look at the computer too much, your eyes become weak.
Oops.
Yeah, it's true. So he was crying, and the kajal, the natural black ointment that his mother put on his eyes, was coming down his face, and his head was looking downward, and he was afraid. So, vaktram naniya, your eyes are looking down, your face is down, bhaya bhavana, you have a mood of fear, even though you're all powerful. Stitasya, this situation was like that. And then she says, samam vamohayate bir apiyad bibhiti. That this is so bewildering, vimohiti. This is so bewildering to me because I know that you are unlimitedly powerful. And I also know that fear itself fears you, that death, which is the most fearful thing, it fears you. And yet you are fearing Mother Yashoda. You have inconceivable, unlimited power. And yet, when your mother is holding up the rope and threatening to punish you, tears are rolling down your cheeks, from your eyes down your cheek, and you are genuinely afraid. There's someone in there. I can hear them. Huh? Oh, okay. So Kunti Devi, here's Prabhupada's translation to this amazing verse. So of all the bewildering things that she's talked about Krishna, this is the most bewildering, actually. My dear Krishna, you please read this. But read it with, properly.
My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid, for fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me.
How is it possible that the unlimited Supreme Lord is afraid of his mother's chastisement because he knows he did something wrong? He broke the butter pot and stole the butter. So the answer, of course, is in the intimacy of the relationship between the Braja devotee, Yashodamaya, and Krishna. It was so intimate that she became unaware of his position and understood that my boy is so naughty, he's so restless, I must chastise him, I must punish him. Otherwise, who knows what will happen to him when he grows up? He'll be uncontrolled. And then he might get himself into trouble. And he went, we're starting to preach to you now, I don't forget. I have to go back to the... But Mother Yashoda is thinking like that. Her relationship with him, with Krishna, is so filled with love that it covers over her understanding of him as the all-powerful Supreme Lord. Because the love is so dominant. So Krishna in that position, Kunti is seeing, this is a picture of Kunti, of Krishna and Mother Yashoda. She's seeing this in her mind, in her heart. And she said, this is so confusing for me. How is it possible? How is this possible? What concept of God is this? I've mentioned this several times before, but once I went to the Vatican, the head place of the Catholic Church, and there's a part of it that has, in the Sistine Chapel, there's a museum that is so full of this priceless artifacts and paintings and carpets on the wall and carvings and statues. So a lot of them have a religious theme because, after all, this is a church. So there was one that really especially struck me. And that one is that there's this one big, big, almost as big as that wall, a big carpet. And on that carpet there is some saint, and he's in the presence of God. But you don't see God because they don't have really a concept of the form of God. But you see in the corner of the painting, he's looking up like this, and in the corner there's a great effulgence coming towards him, and he's bearded, old sage, and he's like this, filled with fear. So that's their concept of a relationship with the Supreme Lord. And our concept is just the opposite. The Mother Yashoda is standing there like this with a rope in her hand, and Krishna's going like this. The Supreme All-Powerful Lord is going like this. Please don't tie me up. So it's such a unique and wonderful, intimate, because a gift that actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving and Srila Prabhupada is transferring to us. Such a gift of intimacy, even knowledge of intimacy, of the possibility of such an intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord. Because, intimacy. This is what's possible. Love. Not just fear of God, but love for Krishna. in such an intimate way that he, that one can love him as a mother loves the son, or as a father loves the son, or as a friend loves a friend, or as a servant loves the master. One can love him as in a married relationship, or even a girlfriend relationship. It's so inconceivable, completely on the spiritual platform, completely transcendental, completely above the modes of material nature. And actually from our position within the modes of material nature, being covered, our consciousness being covered by goodness, passion, and ignorance, or generally more passion and ignorance, that we can't even conceive of what this is like. But through hearing the prayers of someone like Kunti Devi, who's aware of Krishna's opulent position, and also aware of the intimacy of the Braj devotees, the Vrindavan devotees such as Mother Yasoda, the intimacy, the unique intimacy of their relationship with Krishna, and the love in their relationship. She sees both. She's like this, but also she sees Krishna like that. She sees both at the same time. And she says, this is bewildering to me. She knows Krishna's power, and yet she knows how he's sincerely frightened by Mother Yashoda because he knows that he did something wrong. And these are the pastimes in Vrindavan, that they are very, very difficult to understand, but they are very, very wonderful, and they are very sweet, where the residents of Vrindavan love Krishna. They have such an intimate relationship with Krishna. They love him in such a way that he acts just like a young boy for his mother. He acts just like a friend, but the best of friends. He acts just like the best of boyfriends to the young girls of Prasa, and has nothing to do with the material world. And they and he, through these exchanges of the most intimate love, are feeling the highest ecstasy. So during the month of Kartik, we sing the prayers, the Dhammadharastakam, every day, and we make an offering to Krishna of a lamp. Because we see in this month, it's especially noted for the fact that the bhakti, the devotion of the devotees, it actually conquers the Supreme Lord. It controls the Supreme Lord. It makes him fearful. It makes him act as if a plaything. And this is Krishna. This is Krishna of Vrindavan. How the love of the residents of Vrindavan is so overwhelming. It overwhelms the bhakti of the residents of Vrindavan. It overwhelms the all-powerful. Now, that's a contradiction in one sense. How could something overwhelm something that's all-powerful? Because that would mean that there's something more powerful than the all-powerful. And if something is more powerful than the all-powerful, how is he all-powerful? So what's the resolution of this apparent contradiction? Is that the bhakti, that love, is actually his energy. So looking at it from the philosophical point of view, he's overwhelmed by his own energy. So that means that it's his energy, so it's already in his possession, so he's still all-powerful, because what's going on is just an interplay of his energy. So that's from the philosophical point of view. But from the point of view of tasting sweetness, the love of the residents of Vrindavan, the love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching is so overwhelming for the Supreme Lord that it controls him completely. And he's like a plaything in the hands of his devotees. He becomes conquered. And this is the nature of Vrindavan. He becomes conquered. The all-powerful Ajita. Ajita means unconquerable one. But the one who is unconquerable becomes conquered by the quality of the love of his devotees. I have an idea. If we turn off the speaker part, then I think the hearing isn't changed. Maybe is it or not? But we can't hear. I think it should. You can ask Mataji. Can you still hear? Are you here?
if it is done mute on the other side, then you won't hear.
Okay, that's what to do. We have mute, mute, mute. You know how to mute a phone?
You can put it on silent too.
Yeah, I didn't ask you if you... Do you know how to do it?
You can go upstairs.
Go upstairs and do it. Because you...
I will explain.
Okay. No. You said he
can. I can just tell him what to do there. So can, because her phone and this phone is on, so we are getting disturbance from there. Okay. If you can silent there.
Yes. Okay.
So mute. Different from silent, no?
No, not silent.
It's not silent.
It's a mute button.
Mute is different.
Yeah, but he will do it from there. Okay.
Yes. We're sending up some help, don't worry.
Okay!
I told you there was someone in there. And it left.
I'm okay.
You don't have to worry about a thing anymore. Raj is there.
I think you better take it off speaker.
Okay, well, this goes on. But then we put it on speaker after? No.
Yeah.
No.
So if you put it on speaker again, and then you can't hear the way, but she can
hear you.
She can hear.
Okay.
The speaker is on, but the mute button is...
Okay, so should we put it on speaker now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
it's okay. Yeah, it has to be on speaker, or else you want.
Okay. It's ruined everything. No. What were we talking about? It was something about Krishna, right? Krishna Vrindavan. Who remembers what we were talking about? Yes.
Last thing we were talking about, when Krishna is powerful and he's all powerful, why he was feared of Mata Yashoda, I know.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees.
Yes. So this is the special nature of Vrindavan. That Krishna is controlled by the devotee's love. He's still the all-powerful Supreme Lord. Just like the most, the wealthiest person. So in the presence... Oh, now we have to...
The speaker is on here.
Is it? Oh, yes, you do it. And then we'll have to ask everyone what they remember again. So this is the special nature of the residence of Vrindavan, or the love. And that when it is so complete, it is so full, that the unlimited Supreme Lord is captivated by that love and controlled by it. And he even, so there's one Sanskrit word that means savagya. That is savagya, which means that he knows everything. So in the presence of the love of Mother Yashoda and the friends, that he forgets his savagya nature. He forgets that he knows everything, and he just thinks, oh, my mother is going to punish me. What will I do? And he starts to cry. He forgets that in the presence. Just an example of the same. There's the richest person. And when he's with his mother, she's... Because the nature of mothers is they always think that children, no matter how old they are, they always think of them as small. So she's talking to him and saying... are you getting enough to eat? He's the richest person in the world. Have you eaten today? Have you done this? You have this, right? And he says, yes, mother. Because, and he gets in that mood. Have you noticed this when, when you're with your mother or something, then it's, you have to, like, completely different person than when you're in the hospital and, you know, and working over there. Because the nature of the intimacy of the relationship forces a particular mood in one's mind. So similarly, the nature of the loving relationship, because of the intensity of the love, it forces a mood on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It willingly forces that. He's willing to do that because this is his reciprocation. Because they want to love him as a little boy or as a friend. He takes that mood perfectly. So this is the very mysterious Vrindavan. And this Vrindavan, because Kunti Devi she's aware of that Vrindavan, but her mood is conscious that he's also the all-powerful Supreme Lord. This is bewildering for her. Bewildering for her. So here's the verse again. Please read it one more time.
My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed in the scar.
So his first thing is his eye. He was perturbed. That means disturbed, because his mother was going to punish him. He was actually disturbed, and the effect of that being disturbed, his mind, that he was fearful. The effect of that is that he began to cry. So your perturbed eyes,
overflowed with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid. Though fear personified is afraid of you, this sight is bewildering to me.
So there's a comment by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur about this, and because one of the great acharyas said that Krishna is imitating the behavior of an ordinary boy. Or Srila Jiva Goswami says that no, actually he is afraid. He's not imitating, although if he was just imitating, Kunti Devi wouldn't have said, this is bewildering to me. But he's actually afraid. And that's what's bewildering to me. How is it possible that he's actually afraid? So here is Prabhupada's purport. Now listen very carefully. I'll read it part by part. Here is another explanation of the bewilderment caused by the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the supreme in all circumstances, as already explained. Here is a specific example of the Lord's being the supreme and at the same time a plaything in the presence of his pure devotee. The Lord's pure devotee renders service unto the Lord out of unalloyed love only. And while discharging such devotional service, the pure devotee forgets the position of the Supreme Lord. So what does unalloyed mean?
Can you read it out, the sentence again?
The whole sentence, or just that word?
The sentence.
You mean so you can, okay. The Lord's pure devotee renders service unto the Lord out of unalloyed love only. And while discharging such devotional service, the pure devotee forgets the position of the Supreme Lord. So what does unalloyed mean?
Selfless.
Not exactly.
It's not mixed with anything.
Not mixed, unmixed. Mm. Because say if, like there's steel, I mean not like chore, not chore, but the metal steel, that's iron plus different element. You're the engineer here. What is in steel? So many different kinds of steel. Yes, tungsten. They put so many different alloys in it, and it's called an alloy, an iron alloy, which means it has an iron plus a mixture of different things which changes the qualities of the iron. But this is unalloyed. There is no mixture. There is nothing in the love of the residents of Vrindavan other than love. There's no desires for anything else other than to please and serve Krishna. And this is so powerful. And the love is so intimate, as Prabhupada explained, the pure devotee forgets the position of the Supreme Lord. So unalloyed is another word for pure. What's a synonym for unalloyed?
Pure.
Yes, very good. The Supreme Lord also accepts the loving service of his devotees. More relishably, he loves it more, he tastes it more, it has more flavor for him when the service is rendered spontaneously out of pure affection without anything of reverential admiration. So that sentence has so much meaning in it. You could write a book about that one sentence, how it's rendered spontaneously. That means that you're not thinking, oh, it's probably, like you walk into a place and you think that, it's probably good if I, this place is a little dirty, so it's, I think about it with my intelligence, I decide, yes, I'm going to sweep the floor. But spontaneously doesn't mean, means you don't have to think about it. It's just simply coming from the heart. There's no question. So the loving service of his devotees is more tasty to Krishna. Krishna appreciates even more when it's just flowing most naturally from their heart. It's so intense that it flows naturally from their heart. So he accepts the loving service of his devotees more relishably when the service is rendered spontaneously. So it's flowing naturally. It's so intense, it's flowing naturally from their hearts out of pure affection, without anything of reverential admiration. So even though he's the Supreme Lord and all-powerful, they're not thinking like that. They're not thinking like that. Their relationship is so intimate. Say, for example, say if you became the President of the United States, Raj.
Yes.
Yes. Your mother would still chastise you.
Yeah.
Raj, you're going so slowly. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Oh, Raj, you're not eating enough. Why are your room's messy? Your mother would still chastise you. Out of her spontaneous affection, and even though you were the president, she would still do that. So there's no escape. So better to do the right thing.
Okay, as you say.
Yes. So Krishna, he's so much captivated by this mood of love that even goes beyond reverence. What reverence means? Feeling oneself small in the presence of the great. But this love of Mother Yashoda is so great that she feels herself great and her young boy is very small. And that she, out of her love, she needs to chastise. So that is so tasty for Krishna and gives Krishna so much pleasure. Generally, the Lord is worshipped by the devotees in a reverential attitude. But the Lord is meticulously pleased when the devotee, out of pure affection and love, considers the Lord to be less important than himself. The Lord's pastimes and the original abode of Goloka Vrindavan are exchanged in that spirit, in that mood. The friends of Krishna consider him one of them. They do not consider him to be of reverential importance. Sometimes when the boys are playing, they each carry some lunch from home tied up in some cloth or something. So the boys, being boys, and wanting to exchange love, sometimes they make a little plan. So we say, Madhurman, while talking to Dhananjaya, I'll distract him, and you get his lunch, okay? Dhananjaya, how are you today? Oh, you look like you didn't get enough. What's when you really, oh really? This, I want to tell you something amazing. Now listen to this very carefully. Meanwhile, Dhanaraman is... So the boys play like this with each other, and they steal each other's lunch sometimes, and sometimes they take it. And the boy says, where's my lunch? And the other boy says, he takes it. I don't know where it is. Who took this lunch? And then another boy comes up behind that boy and takes it and puts it behind his back and says, see, I didn't take it. I don't have it or anything. And then someone will take it and put it where all the ants are.
Oh, what's he going to eat?
But the boys don't care about that right now because they'll feed him and he's just playing. But they want to see him cry. And they want to see him disturbed because that's the way boys play when they're ganging up on someone. So the Krishna also does this to the others, but also sometimes they do it to Krishna. And Krishna starts crying when the boys are teasing him so much. But the boys love, it's all an exchange of love. So this type of a relationship with Krishna is only in Vrindavan, actually. And it is so, it's so relishable for Krishna, because it describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna's mood is that all the time people, I'm not saying it exactly, but all the time people come to me and pray with great awe and reverence and they offer me so many prayers. But what's more relishable for me, that gives me more pleasure in the heart, for me, is Mother Yasoda's chastisements. More than all the prayers, oh, you are the most wonderful, you are the all-powerful, you are the great, you are the all-good. Everyone is praying like that. Not everyone, but that's how people pray. And then usually they give some gift, give some donation or some food or some flowers, and then they usually ask for them something. This is good, but it is not the highest and the most intimate. The most highest and the most intimate and most appreciated by Krishna, because it's so much filled with the deepest kind of love, is when Mother Yasoda's chastisements, or the boys stealing Krishna's lunch, and Krishna's crying, oh, Krishna, you're a crybaby, it's okay. And then I've seen this with, I've watched boys play, like, you know, it's like a flowing movement of games and teasing each other and playing, and big ones and little ones, they're all, it's just continuously enjoying these different flavors. So that's Krishna, he's a person. And he loves these exchanges with his intimate devotees. It's completely natural for persons. They love to be with those who love them and to carry on the different relationships. And the relationship between Krishna and his beloved devotees is called rasa. But it's based all on the transcendental spiritual above the three modes of material nature, and it has nothing to do with the material world. But we can get a little bit of a glimpse, a little bit of a glimpse, upside down glimpse of how wonderful this is. But it's not the real thing that we, but we can say, it's like if loving relationships are so tasty here, this must be a hundred billion times more wonderful and more tasty. But it's not 100 billion times more wonderful and tasty. It's on a completely different level, actually. But still, we can get a good. After 8 means it's a bit late. After 8 is late.
Never is.
Really? You're very good in English.
I don't think you would call me good at English.
I just did.
It's not exactly true.
You mean I've lied?
No.
Oh, good. So it is true. this is a rasa in this, right? We're playing, so there's a pleasure in this, right? So this is what gives everyone pleasure in the world, the different exchanges, affectionate exchanges with people. And it's so rare to find affectionate exchanges, because usually when someone is having an affectionate exchange with you, they want something from you. Oh, hello, how are you? I haven't seen you in a long time. And if someone's too nice to you, then you start worrying, what are they trying to do? What do they want from me? And Prabhupada even said this, there's some Bengali saying or something, that too much devotion is the sign of a thief. Say it again.
Oti bhakti chore lakhan.
Chore lakhan is the symptom of a thief. Oti bhakti chore lakhan.
Lakham. It was in Bengali, Lakham, yeah. Not Laksham.
Yes, okay. Yes, but there, in Goloka Vrindavan, there is no thought of pure love, there is no thought of taking anything. Yanakama anavritam anukulena krishnana shilam. It's only, everything is done for Krishna's pleasure. It is all about Krishna's pleasure. He is the center in Vrindavan. And everyone loves him. And love means that the beloved, the object of love, is meant to be pleased. So it's a different level than the material, which is always, everyone wants something from every relationship. And if they don't get what they want, they're disturbed. But in Goloka Vrindavan, they're only interested in Krishna's pleasure. They have that kind of love. And he is the center. He is Brajraj. He is the center. You're just Raj. Little Raj. But he's Brajraj. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions? We'll have to, we'll see if we'll continue or go on to the next one next time. But, and His Holiness David Rita Maharaj gives class on Wednesday.
She's saying Wednesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday. Any questions or comments?
Yes. Prabhu, just like in Arjuna's case, when he was bewildered before the battle, it is said that it's not that Arjuna was actually bewildered, but it was Krishna's desire that he be bewildered.
Yes.
So is Kunti Maharani actually bewildered, or again is this just a pastime that Krishna is doing so that his qualities are revealed to us?
In that case, this is the level of her love. In that case, he forgot his surrendered position and he didn't want to act as Krishna wanted him to act. So that was the bewilderment that was being spoken of, that he didn't want to act as Krishna wanted him to act. But when we say that he was bewildered by Krishna's mercy, what we really mean, or Krishna's desire, is that it was lila, because he was an eternal associate of Krishna. So this is Krishna's pastimes for his own purposes. In Vrindavan, it works a little bit differently, but we could also say this is lila too, certainly. But the bewilderment that she's experiences is different from the bewilderment that Arjuna's experienced. Her bewilderment is that she's, because of the level of her love, she is incapable of understanding the depth of Yashoda Maya's love. That's the bewilderment, because it is so inconceivably great and pure that it controls the Supreme Lord, and it was not within her capacity to understand that. Yeah, something like that. Does that answer your question, or not really?
So I'm wondering that, are we supposed to be bewildered, or are we supposed to understand by mercy of Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
See, we can understand. We can understand this intellectually on a certain degree. But if we take the two concepts and actually experience them, that Krishna is unlimitedly powerful, experience that concept of universes, he's so powerful that all of existence is resting on him. And then at the same time, experience Mother Yashoda's chastising Krishna. And the two simply don't fit together. So because we can take it and understand it on a small level and understand it, and we can fit them both into our mind. But if we actually have a deep understanding of both, like Mother Yashoda, she can't chastise Krishna when she's aware of how powerful he is. She couldn't do it. So that has to be removed. So she's, either Mother Yashoda is somewhat bewildered, you could say bewildered by the internal energy or the yoga maya of Krishna. But our bewilderment is something different. We're bewildered because we just have an intellectual understanding of it. So it doesn't seem, oh yeah, I understand that. But actually we don't have a deep understanding of his power or the deep understanding of what this love is like. Follow what I mean? Is that clearer? Yes?
I think that I'm so intelligent, so I've understood it, but actually I've not understood it.
We say we understand it intellectually, perhaps, but we don't understand it deeply, say, because intellectual understanding isn't everything. Intellectual understanding is one part of understanding. But like Mother Yashoda, in the residence of Vrindavan, sometimes they intellectually understood that he's the Supreme Lord, but that was overpowered by their love. Sometimes we intellectually know the right thing to do, but we don't do the right thing. So that means that intellectual understanding isn't everything. So even though we intellectually understand something about Krishna, we don't have the love because that love is a gift from Krishna, from the internal energy of Krishna. So therefore that level of bhakti is, bhava bhakti even is pseudo lava, is very rare. I think that's the best I can do on this one at this point. Did you have a...
Yes, Maharaj. I was just thinking at the end of your discourse about now in Vrindavan, in this Kali age, I mean, talking about the day-to-day thing, you know.
What's the question exactly?
The question is, what is like now in India?
It depends on your consciousness, because the great sages, they see beyond the curtain of Kali Yuga, beyond the curtain of matter, and they see Vrindavan as it is.
No, I'm talking Vrindavan in India.
But the level that I'm talking is that Vrindavan isn't in India.
Oh, it's not?
It's a spiritual world. It's quite inconceivable. Like, when you say, have you been to Vrindavan? This is the problem. Have you been to Vrindavan? Okay. So you could tell someone that you understand Vrindavan's special place, a wonderful place. It's the place of Krishna's pastimes, and you have an intellectual understanding of that easy. But then when you get there, it's something completely different. And it's also quite bewildering in the sense, because you know that this is extraordinary place, but then there's all these material activities going on, but it's not ordinary still. It's extraordinary. And a person who has the most extraordinary consciousness, he perceives the most extraordinary activities of Krishna still going on there.
So Vrindavan is nothing in India?
It's also eternal. Vrindavan's eternal. And India just began in 1947. Yeah. But it's not eternal. But Vrindavan is eternal. But yet there it is, and plastic bags are there and whatever. But that's just a very thin covering over the eternal Vrindavan. Do you want to go to that Vrindavan, this one here? It's very nice. Would you like, when will you go?
No, just thinking about the
No, when will you go? Would you like, it was very good to go. I'm suggesting that it would be very good for you to go. Anyway, think about it. Did it answer your question or not?
No, just thinking about all these places in India, like Mathura, Vrindavan.
But I'm saying that
So now we're talking about a different realm.
Mm. But there's no difference between the eternal realm and the realm that's there now. Now you can intellectually understand that because this is what Shastra says. And you can get a glimpse of it from a distance when you go there. But it's actually fully present. The eternal realm is fully present in that place, in Uttar Pradesh. So that's bewildering. But if you could say, I understand it, but actually, it's bewildering. Excuse me. If you actually think about the two different sides of it, you get bewildered. It's sort of going back to answering you again. So do you want to ask more on this point? Mm-hmm. You can't understand it. Mm-hmm. Vrindavan is an inconceivable place. Raise your hand if you've been to Vrindavan. I mean, now I've confused everyone about what answer I want. Have you been to the oh, never mind. It's too confusing. But I know how to make the question better and easy to answer. Raise your hand if you'd like to go to Vrindavan. No? You don't want to go to Vrindavan?
No, I just want to think about this to the real man.
But you don't want to go to Vrindavan?
I just want to think.
There's an inconceivability about it. Okay, any last question or comment?
It's quite fascinating. Prabhupada described Krishna's appreciation of the love of residents in Vrindavan. He meticulously, is he word meticulous?
Say that again.
Prabhupada used the word meticulous to destroy.
Meticulously pleased. What does meticulous mean?
Very exact.
Yeah. Yes. Perfectly and carefully, exactly pleased. When the devotee, out of pure affection and love, considers the Lord to be less important than himself. That is pleasing to Krishna. But... Huh?
No, meticulously. One of the words is minutely.
Or completely. So you can't imitate this, or you can... Because then you say, oh, Krishna's happy if I think he's less than me. So now I'll start treating Krishna less than me. So that... But it, first the love has to be there, and this is a very high development of love. So we don't imitate these things because they're on too high a level. We never imitate. There should be no imitation in Krishna consciousness. Okay, good night. Hare Krishna. If you have to go home by car, drive very carefully. If you have to walk home, walk carefully too. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhagavatam ki jai, Kunti Devi ki jai, Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes ki jai.